Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our first Focus on Health radio show for 2025, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where their focus is you. I'm being joined today for the first time of this year of 2025. Been a while for the last few weeks. Lori Foster from Van Deest Medical Center. Lori, good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you too, Pat.
Absolutely. Our first show for the new year. We got a very dear friend that's standing right between us, and that is Jade Williams. We'll be hearing from her in just a moment, but a lot of big things coming up, I believe, in this year of 2025, Lori, if I'm correct.
We do. How was your New Year's, Pat?
Very nice. We had the New Year's Eve gala over at Briggswood's Conference Center. Nice turnout. 100 people showed up for that.
Fantastic.
A beautiful evening, but we had no travel woes whatsoever for the last few weeks, which was good. Matter of fact, we have nice weather this morning, despite the fact that it's chilly. May have a little snow tomorrow for Thursday, but not amounting to too much. But all in all, so far, January has been in a perfect mode weather-wise.
Yes, I would agree. And It is a beautiful morning out there today. And it's so great to be back in the studio.
Yes,
doing the
glad to have you here.
With you.
Yep.
I do want to begin today's program by honoring a dear friend and member of our Van Deest Medical Center family, whom we have recently lost. Bob Schultz was an active volunteer greeter and assistant to all departments for several years at our hospital. He was awarded our CARES Award for going above and beyond in displaying our values. He was a member of our Patient Family Advisory Council for years. Bob helped in any way he could. He brightened the day of everyone he encountered. He is a friend, a true ambassador of our hospital, and he will be missed.
He was also involved there, Lori, with the Youth and Family Center, which was located there on Wilson Avenue, just across from Foster Funeral Commission Center for a number of years. He was heavily involved in that, too. So
yes,
he will be missed.
He came to us after his retirement and wanted to stay involved in the community and, like I said, was an active volunteer for a number of years at our hospital.
And his funeral mass coming up on Friday at St. Thomas Aquinas.
That is correct.
So, Bob, we'll miss you.
Yes, we will. So, in other news and announcements, I do want to share, we will continue to offer oncology and hematology services in partnership with Mission Cancer and Blood. We'll actually be increasing our oncology clinics that we do offer on site. Dr. Robert Behrens is a medical oncologist and hematologist, and he is joining our team of visiting specialists. He actually came the end of December. He will continue through this month, and then we will have a new medical oncologist and hematologist, Dr. Sydney, who will be joining us late February. She actually is from the Algona area and has just joined Mission Cancer and Blood this month. She will be seeing patients in our specialty clinic the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Her start date has yet to be determined, so I will share that with our listeners once we have that confirmed. I also want to share, we're very excited to announce the launch of a new patient self-scheduling program available on our website. You can now schedule your care at the right time for you. Patients can quickly find and schedule appointments they need at any time of day with the provider of their choice or whomever is first available. So I would encourage you to take a look. It's very easy. You can go to our website at vandeestmc.org, and right at the very top of the homepage, there is a button that says Schedule Online. You can click on that, and it will take you through the steps. I actually went through it yesterday myself. Very easy, asks a few questions, you enter some information, and you can check availability for any of our providers that are doing online scheduling. So it's very handy. Again, I encourage you to check it out. We're excited to be launching this program, and you will hear more about it. I'll continue to remind our listeners.
Very good.
And then lastly, I do want to mention we have free exam week coming up in 21st Century Rehab. So this is our Rehabilitation Services Department. It is, again, January 20th through 24th. So if you're someone who has joint or muscle pain, you're experiencing tightness, you have trouble moving, you can schedule a free 30-minute exam with a doctor of physical therapy, an occupational therapist, or a speech therapist during this free exam week that is going to be held January 20th through the 24th. The specialist will take a look at what's going on, explore the causes, and help you get on the road to recovery. There is no physician's referral needed. You can simply call 515-832-7735 to get signed up for a free appointment.
All right.
And that will do for my announcement.
And just a friendly reminder that the next SALT meeting is coming up on Thursday, the 6th of February.
You've got the date. That's great, Pat. Yes, yeah. Actually, we've been working on, we're hoping to have it in Blairsburg
at the beginning of the week.
Yes, that's what we talked about, is the Opera House. We're just looking to confirm that with some folks there. So I don't want to announce that officially yet, but that's what we're looking to have it. So
February
if
6th.
Not, we do hope to keep it in the community of Blairsburg. So,
all right.
Yeah, more
somewhere
to come.
In Blairsburg. Okay, we'll look forward to that.
Yes.
All right. Anything else for the good of the cause there, Laurie, for news from
I don't
Band
believe
East?
So. We have a great program coming
yes,
up.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
With Jade.
Yes. With Jade. If you're someone who is looking to better your health in 2025, and you really should be, we want to share some information from our healthcare experts and help you be the healthiest person you can be in the new year. So I'm very thrilled to have as our guest Jade Williams joining us today. Jade is an adult gerontology primary care nurse practitioner at Van Deese Medical Center and our family health clinic here in Webster City. Good morning and welcome, Jade.
Good morning, guys.
Well,
nice to have you here.
Yes, I'm so excited today to get to kick off the new year with you guys and live in studio. So everybody have a little grace for me this morning, hopefully.
It's really fun, and I'm thrilled that you can be here in the studio with us today. And it is an exciting time. It's the new year, and there are some people that do set some resolutions. Maybe they have some goals. Maybe they just want to better themselves, and they want to make health more of a priority. So it's a really great time to share some super information with our listeners. And Jade, you're just the perfect person to be on the program talking about this today.
Yeah, so I tried to keep it real simple, but also look at, you know, I, being an adult Tejero provider, I can see patients 12 and over. And so kind of trying to figure out what would be those really basic points that could hit and be beneficial for everybody. So, you know, some of the things I might mention today might actually be more geared towards, you know, our actual adult population when I'm talking more so 21 and over. But for the most part, this is something that we can all try to implement or start to practice with ourselves as well as our families.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was just kind of pared down for five health habits for 2025. And, you know, feel free if you have questions or a thought, please jump in and we'll see. So, you know, the key five points for today is really prioritizing that mental health, eating for health, fitness beyond the gym, prioritizing your sleep hygiene, and then trying to build a sustainable routine. You know, you need to keep in mind that with each of these habits, it could be its own topic, and I could very well elaborate
so
on those things. So, you know, but I tried to summarize as best as I could for today and really kind of maybe give you some key takeaways that you could start to implement even today after the radio show. So, you know, kicking it off with the prioritizing of your mental health, this is something that we could start off every morning with doing ourselves as well as with our children, incorporating a mindful practice. These could be things just as building intention for the day. So trying to keep a calm environment when we wake in the morning, which I know is difficult. I have two little kids of my own, a dog and a husband, you know, and we have places we have to be at certain times. But trying to set intention for the day as best as you can, because it sets everybody up for a successful day. So some things I like to do, as well as my husband, like he wakes up, you know, generally before us, and he has his own routine. I have my own routine. And then that allows for us to have, get everybody out the door, hopefully with as minimal tears as possible. So some things you could consider would be waking up and meditating, which I think people might always find to be intimidating. And it's everything requires practice. So mm-hmm. you're not going to just start off and be an expert, you know, day one, but just setting even 2 minutes in your morning to have some intentional thought where you're just sitting there, maybe evaluating visually, or whether you're writing it down, say journaling, with making intention for what your goals are for the day or the things that you have to do so that you can start to check those things off. Everybody likes to be able to check off a list, whether it's, you know, feeding and watering the dog to those big tasks if you have a project at work. Mm-hmm. Other things to think about is considering a digital detox, which I know is difficult. I'm guilty of this myself. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I find is I'll reach for my phone because I'm usually looking to see what did I miss or what did I need to address from the night before. Just being
a provider. Do I need to follow up? I need to? Yes.
Exactly.
Reply to someone.
Yes. Yes. And so it's difficult to create that pause where you just want to not do mm-hmm. that first thing in the morning. So, you know, a digital detox could be anything from not reaching for your phone primarily first thing in the morning and really just being present in the first part of your day. All the way to, you know, making a goal of not being on Facebook or not scrolling or different things like that. But, you know, later I do have a caveat to discuss AI and the different things with technology, but you could also just set a reminder on your phone or you can limit your screen time. So there are settings within those devices that you can help create that boundary or barrier mm-hmm. if need be. Same thing with your children's devices. Those all have those as well. Because, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, I'm just going to, you know, take a mental break for 5 minutes or 2 minutes and scroll. And it's 45 minutes later.
And down the dark hole you go.
You know, I'm watching everything from how to make sourdough to, like, some lady's Amazon haul that I'm I don't need any more things
this
in
is so
my
cute.
House.
Look yes. at this.
Yes. So just remembering that if you take a break from the digital world, you're ultimately reducing some level of stress because you're disconnecting or disengaging from something while you're doing that, you know? Mm-hmm. So everybody can't be perfect, but even if you could just set a thought or even a thought with a meal with your family, that the devices are not mm-hmm. part of that, you know, will set everybody up for success. So other ways you can start off for a successful day would be stretching or doing some deep breathing exercises, going back to that digital world. You know, if you have YouTube available, you can Google any of those things, or search for it on YouTube and, you know, a quick 5 minute video will come up just to get you started for the day. So, and then leading into my next point, another way to set up for success, and this will really play off of the rest of the conversation, is making sure you're getting in a minimum of 30 grams of protein every morning. That sets your metabolism up to start doing what it needs to do. It cuts off your cortisol spike, which is a whole nother topic and conversation, mm-hmm. but this is really beneficial for all, you know, when I'm talking young adult, all the way up through, you know, 99, 100, but
men and women.
Men and mm-hmm. women, both. But specifically women, I'm talking to you, cutting down that cortisol spike when you wake in the morning is huge. It helps reduce your inflammatory response, which is also another mm-hmm. conversation for a different day. But 30 grams will set you up, and it gets your metabolism going and sets you up to be ready and hitting for the day. So I still struggle with feeling hungry in the morning when I wake up, but that's difficult because I also know then that means my metabolism isn't necessarily doing its job. If you're waking up and you're not feeling hungry, then we need to do some more work to get your metabolism wanting you to eat in the morning. But a good way that I offset that is I use a pea protein in the morning and mix it in with my coffee and collagen and a little bit of Fairlife milk. And right there I have over 40 grams of protein to kick off my day in my coffee. So it's like a power protein.
And that is such a great example to share, Jade, because that was the first thing I was going to say and ask you as listeners are going, 30 grams?
Yeah.
Okay, how do I get 30 grams right. off the bat?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, for for those who like to use other supplements, like a protein, that is a great way. That's how I do it. But if you're looking for more of those whole foods, you know, really then hitting in and incorporating, sometimes I'll do turkey, lean turkey, ground turkey, or chicken, things like that, mixing in with some egg. Looking probably 4 ounces, which I know sounds like a lot, but 4 ounces of ground turkey or lean chicken, those would be really good ways of incorporating 30 grams if you're looking to not supplement with a protein powder or something like that. Mm-hmm. So then the next conversation is really making sure that you are honing in on your whole foods. And so kicking off your day once again with really thinking about how can I be present and how can I be diligent about my not reaching for, say, the cereal or the processed bread and things like that. Sometimes we think more so what's convenient, which is great, but really trying to be aware of what we're putting in our body, because there's so much coming out these days and so much research to back up, you know, that there's, unfortunately, we house a very large diet of processed foods. And so if we can really kind of try and even scale back how much, we're doing our bodies some level of service for now and in the future. So those whole foods, if we're consuming lean, clean ingredients or minimal ingredients, you're really decreasing your risk for chronic disease in the future. You know, specifically different types of cancers, heart disease, diabetes, metabolic disorders, you know, those are just some primary ones that come to mind that we tend to hear the most about. Also, setting yourself up with consuming real foods also improves your gut health, which is probably something we've been hearing a lot about. And gut health is really taking the center stage, I feel, for 2025. There's probably 3 big buzzwords: digital detox, gut mm-hmm. health, and mm-hmm. menopause. Those seems to be the things that we are really hearing about these days, and it's really about time for that. You know, I can't wait to hear, you know, what GI doctors are going to be saying this year, because this is really their time to shine, and how can we better set all of our patients up and community for improvement. But gut health is now being found to be related to your mental health as well. So if you have a healthy gut microbiome, then you are going to be better set up to manage those mental stresses mm-hmm. that you're experiencing. You know, everybody has a time and a place for certain things. And I'm not saying that the, you know, antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications are going to the wayside, and that, you know, go off of those if you're just eating a whole clean diet. That's a conversation for you and your provider to have. But there's a good possibility that you can just improve your overall mood if you are putting good things into your body, good whole foods. Mm-hmm. And so,
to my listeners, I don't want to interrupt, but I have to say, of course, I'm ready to pounce on that. And I hear, okay, gut health is going to be a topic for a radio program, because I'm very intrigued. And I hear about it. I know a little, but not enough. And I think a lot of people want to know about gut health. And so I think just hearing that from you and hearing these tips makes them think, okay, that is another point that, you know, I just want to hone in on, and how can I be better? So I love that you mentioned it. I think all of those topics are going to be great topics for 2025.
Excellent. Yes. So I do have one that you can kind of start to incorporate right now, and that's fiber. You know, it's something that we might tend to think of as more for, you know, our grandma or grandpa or older adults. And that's really not true. You know, probably another thing that comes to mind would be Metamucil, you know, if you start mm-hmm. to think fiber, but there's so much more to it. The current guidelines recommend 25 to 30 grams. I really try to kind of stretch that and challenge somebody. If you can get in 25 to 45, you know, there is some indigenous cultures who actually consume 90 or more just based off of their diet. And they have been studied, you know, Mayo Clinic's done a couple extensive studies on them. And they, you know, they're amazing. The health that this indigenous population is in, you know, because they have an exceptional gut microbiome. And the things that they choose to eat are quite interesting. But for us in modern America, you know, realistically breaking it down, if you can hit 30 grams of fiber on a regular basis, you're decreasing your risk for a myocardial infarction by 15%. So if I can reduce my risk of that happening just by things that I'm choosing to ingest and not necessarily a medication, or how can I optimize that risk reduction with food and medication, you know, you're really setting yourself up for success, mm-hmm. for hopefully a long, healthy life where you can retire and go and do all the things that you want to do in retirement and not necessarily be spending it in the doctor's office or feeling not so great that you're only able to dream about those things that you've been planning for retirement. So, you know, how do you get, or why is fiber so important? Well, realistically, it's going to improve your digestion, you know, which means bowel movements, and they should be good bowel movements. And so I tell my patients, you know, I ask, how many are you having a day? And realistically, you know, one to two would be great. Although we know that the digestion process can take upwards of 36 hours on average. So, you know, if that's that would be one every 1.5 days, essentially. So if you're improving your digestion, you're reducing your cholesterol levels, which is huge. You know, there's a lot of times I think we go to our provider and we start that conversation, but we don't really explain that this is how you reduce your cholesterol levels for our patient. So increasing that fiber. Also, something that's really amazing with fiber is that it helps control your blood sugar levels, which is, you know, setting us up for success and hopefully not diabetes down mm-hmm. the road, which unfortunately is a chronic, long-term condition, you know, and does wreak havoc on our systems all the way from your eyes to your brain. There's, you know, more conversation that Alzheimer's is really type 3 diabetes, and it can be due to insulin resistance. You know, so just anticipating and waiting to kind of see what that research brings, any way that we can control our blood sugar levels is going to be great. Plus, that also reduces your inflammation, which reduces your risk for all other chronic conditions. It also promotes weight management, which is, you know, sometimes I think we've maybe, especially as females, been more conditioned to not think that eating a certain amount of food, you know, isn't good. And there's so much research that's going on about that right now. But, you know, realistically, if you're eating a whole foods and you're consuming a 2000 calorie diet of whole foods, that's much different than 2000 calories of processed right. food. And your body is going to feel much different.
Much
better. Eating 2000 right. calories. Yes.
Of whole food.
Yes, absolutely. And then also reducing, like I said, that risk of chronic disease. So how or what are some good sources for fiber? You know, fruits, berries are huge. Blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. Blueberries are really like a powerhouse. They have antioxidant properties. I will say blueberries must know that they're a hot commodity because the cost of these yeah. things is insane. I mean, I'm going to the store and I'm sorry, but you know, this is where I choose to spend my money. So I'm buying $21 worth of blueberries and they're gone in like 2 days maybe mm-hmm. in my house between myself and my girls. Yes. They'll sit down and mm-hmm. eat a container. But then it's like, you know, I'm choosing to give them $7 in fruit versus maybe $7 at McDonald's for mm-hmm. today. And I'm setting them up hopefully for success.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, cost, also a benefit weight there. Mm-hmm. Vegetables, you know, I think that's probably where we primarily think about fiber being a big source, but broccoli, your carrots, spinach, you know, things like that. And, you know, these might not be things that we find to be as appetizing, but once again, I have a really amazing cookbook. And so if you want really good recipe ideas, just let me know, because I have like a whole notebook of ones that I've wrote down that we've tried out, different things like that. And they taste great. Whole grain. So looking at your brown rice, oats, quinoa, which I'm a huge fan of quinoa. It's great. You can make it up. It saves really well for the week if you're thinking of doing meal preps or how to incorporate it into various different dishes. You know, legumes, so your beans and lentils. We do a lot of chickpeas in our house, black beans, pinto beans, nuts and seeds, almonds and walnuts. You know, walnuts are amazing in their properties. They offer so much, but biggest thing to remember is nuts are power-packed, just like an avocado. So a little amount goes a long way. And so sometimes that can be difficult because we tend to favor things that are crunchy, and nuts are crunchy. And it's really easy to go from one serving, which really isn't very much, to eating, you know, I'm guilty.
Me too.
I can just walk past a bag and, you know, in one day and then I realize that might not have been the best option. Yeah. But they're delicious.
They are.
Super hard. So real quick, how do you get in 30 grams of fiber? Well, I just quickly this morning wrote down what would be a breakfast to kind of get you started. Mm-hmm. Almost hitting half of what I'm requesting of you to hit in a day. Real quick, you could eat a cup of organic rolled oats, a half a cup to a cup of berries, raspberries, blueberries, and then adding in 2 tablespoons of chia seeds. Right there, you have 13 to 15 grams of fiber to start your day. So if you could incorporate more berries throughout the day, a little bit of spinach and broccoli. I love flax seeds too. Those are great. You can just kind of sprinkle those. I put them on my salad or whatever. Right there, you would be at 30 grams for the day, you know. So it's actually not as complicated as it might seem. Mm-hmm. But that's also, you know, what your provider and other resources are for, to help try and make it not so complicated for you. So then moving into the next point would be that fitness beyond the gym. So just considering that regular movement and mobility. So I say, you know, you got to start somewhere. And if it's just even trying to get in 10,000 steps a day, and if that seems too daunting, let's start at 7,500 and go from there and see what you're capable of. You know, Mayo says a sedentary behavior is really if you're only hitting 5,000 or less a day. And unfortunately, working desk jobs and doing the type of work that we tend to do in our modern age, we sit a lot. Mm-hmm. We're quite sedentary. So if there's, you know, getting up and taking a water break every 45 minutes or whatever you can do will help. Or if it's setting your laundry basket in one room and then forcing yourself, you know, to just kind of walk across the house will also help you just getting in that extra movement for the day. You know, making sure that you're taking those stretch breaks, thinking about yoga. I know this isn't something, and I'm not trying to go down a religious conversation at this point, but just it's primarily for the stretching and mobility and the functional mobility. You know, this isn't a conversation about myself, but during treatment, that was one thing, breath work and yoga that they all talked to me about. My therapist, my like physical and occupational therapist, my trainer, you know, everybody was like, you should do stretching and things like this. And I didn't, I'm going to be honest. I did it, but I didn't really invest in it. And now that I'm done with treatment, it's just something I really have found that I like to do. And it's crazy because I didn't expect that I would be as sore after I do it either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a great challenge to see, well, what can I do, you know, with myself? Like, oh, I can't believe I can twist like that, or, you know, just the different challenges you can do with yourself. So definitely something to think about. But also, more mobile that you are, more mobile that you are, the better off you're going to be in the long term for your health.
Absolutely. And I know we are at the end of our program, and Jade has so much great information. She doesn't even know it yet. I'm doing this live on the program. But Jade, I would love to have you back next week, because I know we want to get through our points. And these are such great practices that people can incorporate little by little into their lives.
Right.
So you don't have to commit right now. I do want to thank you for sharing all of your information, and there's so much more. So I will say to our listeners, stay tuned, and I would love to have Jade back to continue the conversation of healthy habits for 2025.
Right, absolutely. So sorry.
No, it's fantastic.
Indeed.
Like I said, so I could just go on and on. So I really appreciate, though, this time that you guys gave me. And I hope that you can maybe take just even a couple little things that we talked about today. You know, one quick thing. If you are incorporating that fiber, make sure you're drinking plenty of water, because we don't want, you know, we don't want it to cause any other things. Yeah, digestion issues. And then, of course, if you have questions, you can always message me on Facebook or reach out to the hospital or clinic. I'm in clinic every Thursday now. So if you want to come and see me and just pick my brain, you're welcome to do that too. I love working with other patients, primary care providers, or whoever else you might already have on your healthcare team. So you don't have to just come see me for those basic health needs. So thank you.
Jade, thank you so much. She is available at the clinic. As she mentioned, the number to call, 515-832-7800. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, Lori and Jade, thanks very much. And we'll have you back on next week.
Great. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. And that does it for Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center. 902, this is KQWC.